Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour two. Thank Matt Hegarty for the extensive recap of all the business conversations that took place over the last week. This is always an intense portion of Saratoga when it comes to business, the roundtable and the law conference and more, the legislative review from NTRA, and the pair of yearling sales at the Humphrey Finney Pavilion and on the sales grounds, Fasig Tipton, with just a remarkable week, emotional and pretty magical. And Boyd Browning is probably still decompressing from this intense couple of weeks at Saratoga. Boyd, good morning. Congratulations on just a pair of outstanding sales.
Well, thank you, Steve. It was a pretty remarkable week, as you pointed out. Record-setting sales in both the select sale and the New York bread sale, and I'm not decompressing. I'm just still smiling.
I mentioned emotional, and we got to get this out first. The presence of Bill Graves over Monday and Tuesday was just palpable, and I know it. It certainly got to you a little bit, and the group of horses he brought together, they were typical of how good he was at his job, and the buyers responded appropriately.
Well, there's no question, and you know, we knew it was going to be an emotional time, and it was. I think Bill would be proud of the horses that were assembled on the ground. And I would be pleased with the outcome. And it was a tremendous horse sale. But Bill would also be the first to point out that, you know, there were 580 horses cataloged between those two sales. And it was a team effort. There were lots of other folks that were involved in the selection process and the inspection process. And it was, you know, lots of hard work and effort by a lot of people. But, you know, Bill certainly is, you know, a guiding force, and his presence and his influence will be felt for as long as all of us who are associated with the company that work with him are still involved. And I think hopefully that'll be a long time for all of us as well. But it was, it was an emotional time. It was really nice to see his son Brian at Gainsway have another magnificent sale. He's a great horseman in his own right. Brian is, and he learned a lot from his father. And you know, just all in all, it was a wonderful week. And I think it was kind of fitting celebration of Bill's influence on not only Fasig Tipton but the thoroughbred industry.
Very much. And when it comes to influence on the industry, a lot was made at the time, Boyd, of the Triple Crown win by American Pharoah and the, you know, the speculation and some of that hollow suggestion that, oh, the industry needed a Triple Crown winner to, you know, to draw attention from the mainstream. The more tangible benefit of the Triple Crown winner, and now a second one in Justify, was what American Pharoah's produce are going to clearly do in the marketplace. And the opening night of the sale Monday, that was in clear evidence.
Oh, yes. Pharoah was, he was a special horse. I mean, he's the first Triple Crown winner in 37 years. He captured the emotions and pent up emotions from many of us. I mean, I didn't go to the Triple Crown for when Pharoah won it because I thought that was a jinx. I'd been there so many times on Belmont Saturday thinking, golly, I wouldn't want to see it. And and I didn't see it. Farrah was a special racehorse. Also, just a beautiful, beautiful horse, and his produce are all, they're not cookie cutters in terms of their physical conformation. But they all have the walk, the movement, the agility that he kind of demonstrated, and the market responded very, very, very favorably, which was not a surprise. I mean, the weanling sold very well last November, but he got obviously bred to a great book of mares, and so it was, quality on top of quality and the producing quality looking horses, so we had every expectation they would sell well, and boy, they really did, and now we'll all anxiously await being able to, we'll sell some of the two-year-old sales, but it'll be really exciting to see them hit the racetrack and watch their progression, which I think will be very, very positive for many years to come.
I would also suggest, and I'd love for you to riff on this area, and that is that it was refreshing or certainly encouraging to see the second night how the powerhouse stallion type, this time Medaglia d'Oro, can drive the train as well, and the results, not just for his get, but Curlin, Tappet as always, Into Mischief, I thought Boyd had a remarkable two nights. 13 hips were offered, everyone sold through for an average close to $500,000, and that's a really strong underpinning for a sale like this.
Yeah, and as you point out with Into Mischief, the other thing that you've got to take into consideration is the fund fee in which those foals were conceived. So those yearlings were conceived, and I was trying to spin it back in my head right now. It was probably in the neighborhood of $50,000. So, 10 times fund fee sure makes a lot of happy breeders out there in the world. But, he's just arguably the hottest sire in America. Shameless plug. I mean, you see the two-year-old sales topper from Gulfstream. Instagram just have another dominant performance. I mean, every time it seems like you pick up the TDN, he's got another graded stakes winner. And certainly there's huge demand. And that's one of the really, interesting things and exciting things. 4 or 5 years ago, so folks would say, we're losing all of our sire power in America. What are we going to do? And not only do you have the older mainstays, and I'm not saying old, but they've done it for a while, like Tappet and Medaglia, but you see some stallions like Quality Road emerging as just world-class stallions. You see Into Mischief emerging as world-class stallions. You point out Curlin, is just, explosive as well. So, and then the first crop stallions this year that had yearlings in the sale was as good or deep a group as I think I've ever seen in my years in the thoroughbred industry with top quality sires. So it's I think we're well positioned for many, many years of the stallion power that we've got in America.
There's also my favorite storyline for this yearling market season, and that's the return of Empire Maker, and he didn't disappoint either with this first group of yearlings that came back into the marketplace with his return to North America.
No question about it. I mean, he is certainly a proven sire at the highest levels, makes a good looking horse, and he was very well represented at Saratoga, and the marketplace responded very favorably to those
qualities. You talked about the first croppers and Beyond American Pharaoh, Byron had a good pair, including a $600,000 seller. Virtually everybody had an isolated success or more. Liam's Map and Honor Code, Carpe Diem, they all contributed. I remember, Boyd, we talked 10 years ago when the economic landscape was struggling, and at that time you talked about cataloging the reliable types because the buyers were retreating to proven quantities, and that when we see first crop numbers like they were represented here, you know, that shows a healthy marketplace among the buying community. And you certainly had a varied roster of buyers, all not just at the top end, but all the way through the sales.
Well, there's no question. I mean, kind of split that into two segments. You know, I think in the thoroughbred industry is like any other industry, and quote-unquote recessionary times and difficult financial times, there's always a movement towards the known element. Blue chip stocks generally do better than tech stocks or speculative stocks. Proven real estate is more successful than spec housing. So I think the same thing happened in the thoroughbred industry in those difficult times is that there's a retreat to the known, a retreat to the more comfortable. So, you know, I think we're also very blessed right now with having some magnificent younger stallions that have emerged in the pipeline, and people would be, I'm not going to say crazy, but you look at the success of the first crop sires and particularly like last year on the Triple Crown Trail, you have to consider using those stallions, and people are, and are certainly willing to pay for them. So that's very encouraging. Regarding the buyers that were in attendance, if they're both sales, that's the greatest transformation in the industry over the last 15 years in America has been the great deepening and broadening of the buying bench. The industry is no longer relying upon 1, 2, 3, or 4 major buyers. There are literally dozens of people who will give you good money for a horse. Intense competition for most of the offerings that were on that were for sale in the last week. So that's the healthiest segment of our game, is that the number of buyers and the depth of buyers that are willing to play. Now, you still got to hit the bullseye. They're not going to buy everything. It's not easy. Anybody thinks it's easy. There's nothing to the sales game right now, would be absolutely mistaken. You've still got to have a quality product, and you've still got to pass physical inspection and veterinary scrutiny and things like that. But when you do kind of jump through all the hoops, it can be very rewarding.
One thing, and let's fold the New York sale Saturday and Sunday into this. Knock on wood, there was rain, but there were no tornadoes and no lightning strikes.
Fortunately.
Yeah, to complicate things. But record-setting seller and the robust trade in New York sale, I mean, what a great way to close out the season here.
Oh, it was tremendous, no question about it. But that's a direct risk. The success of the sale and strength of the sale is absolutely 100% direct reflection of the quality of horses that are being offered as New York breds. You know, we see the New York breds competing at the highest levels around the world. You see Diversify and Mind Your Biscuits run 1-2 in the Whitney. You see Biscuits win in Dubai. You see this weekend in the 4-star Dave a New York bred win. You see a New York bred win the special on Sunday. I mean, the New York breds absolutely compete, around the world, and are at the highest quality of horses being raised and produced in the world. So there's, a tremendous opportunity to compete in quote unquote open company, and there's also an amazing opportunity to compete in the state bred program for sellers, your buyers and sellers alike. So it's a great program.
You know, you talked about the buying roster, and one thing I notice that jumps off the page at me, you know, looking at the list of buyers, the return to the marketplace in a big way of certain names, and that includes Tracy Farmer and Peter Brandt.
No question. When I started at Paisley Kitchen, Peter Brandt was involved in the company over 30 years ago, and Peter's having great success. I think he's re-energized and refocused and certainly having a lot of success and a great time in the thoroughbred industry. Mr. Farmer has been, a mainstay as well. It was very, very, very nice to see him jumping back in and participating a big way. And, you know, they're, but I think it also says something about the mystique and the specialness of Saratoga. I mean, you see them, you know, gentlemen like those two guys that can do anything they want to in the world. They have the ability, the financial ability to do whatever they want to in the world. They love the game. They love being a Saratoga, not only in the winter sport, but being on the backside in the mornings, and they're going to make a bounce in their step and a smile on the face. And, you know, I'm preaching to the choir, but it's such a unique experience with regards to being in Saratoga, from the early mornings to great racing to late night dinners. And you see everything in Saratoga. You see, you know, the social aspect of it, but you also see the family aspect. I mean, three generations sitting around handicapped in the morning, or, you know, you walk through the picnic area at Saratoga and you say, you know, we've got something really special, and we all got to just work together to continue to grow and expose our industry to more and more folks, because it's truly unique and special.
Well, the Fasig-Tipton Saratoga Fall Sale is October 15th, and that's a productive mix sale. It's got a little bit of everything. The Mid-Atlantic Sale back to Timonium, October 1st and 2nd. So you don't really get much time off, but Boyd, it was a rousing success, and the social side of it, tremendous fun, and congratulate everybody on the team, and look forward to the action in the fall, and appreciate, you know, your huge contribution to the the racing too, because Fasig's sponsorship that, you know, that behind races and really what's become a festival with Fasig's name attached, has really become, you know, part of a fixture at Saratoga.
Well, thank you, Steve. We love Saratoga, and all you can be sure of is that we've started to work already to make 2019 even better than 18. And we've got a busy schedule in the next few months, but fortunately, we love what we do. We need to go to work. We don't have to go to work.
Boyd Browning, everybody, and the Fasig-Tipton Saratoga sales, both the New York Reds and the Open, and just a tremendous week on the sales grounds. Appreciate Boyd's visit and insights. We'll take a bottom of the hour break here, come back, and go to the Pacific Northwest, talk to Howard Belbour, and it's been a while. I'm not trying to think the last time Howard joined us, and we've talked to Van since. May have talked to Heath, too. But maybe back to Wasserman? Wasserman, maybe. Because he won the Long Acres Mile back-to-back, and But with different horses too. He had assessment win, but I cannot. I'm going to guess that it was during Wasserman's run that we talked to last to Howard Belbour. He'll join us next. It's a great story. The Long Acres Mile, so important to the horsemen and owners in the Pacific Northwest. You hear John White get misty talking about the Long Acres Mile, and Howard Belbour will join us next. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
If you want to hit big at Saratoga and Del Mar, ExpressBet is the only way to play. ExpressBet customers have access to free handicapping information, like wager guides for the Traverse and Pacific Classic, and expert tips from renowned handicappers like Eddie Olchik. Plus, new ExpressBet customers will receive a $500, $100, or $20 welcome bonus when they sign up today. Learn more at ExpressBet.com. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Right now.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, second half on this Tuesday, and certainly wasn't going to let the Long Acres Mile get run on Sunday and just mention the result because it's too important a race, especially for those owners and breeders and horsemen horse players and fans that remember Long Acres and appreciate the racing in the region. It's a goal for so many. The Belvoir family, certainly, and they are synonymous with the Northwest. And Barkley's win on Sunday gets Howard Belvoir his third Long Acres Mile. Son Van trained one winner and rode another. It's a pleasure to get Howard Belvoir back on At the Races. Howard, congratulations.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it very much.
You know, this is particularly a poignant one because you were sick last week. There was concern you weren't even going to have you on hand on Sunday. There had to be a lot of emotion involved in sending out Barkley on Sunday.
It was. He's a cool little horse and just had a little procedure. Everything turned out good and the race turned out better.
Explain, and I've talked to you and Van and even, you know, California trainers and the horsemen from Western Canada that look to this race. Explain the appeal and the focus for the region and what this race means.
Well, it's like you said, Long Acres was built in 1933 and 30-some days. And it's a race that everybody wants to win. It's been run 83 times, and I've been lucky enough to win it three. Van won it once, so four times and 83 times is a lot for one family. And it's a great race. Like Herman Sarkowski won the Breeders' Cup, and he won the Long Acres Mile, and he said, this is more gratifying than anything. But he was a Northwest owner. People hear this is a race you want to win. It's not so much the money. it's just like the picture, I guess you'd say. But you think about the money a couple of days later. But this is used to be the largest race, mile race, going in the West Coast, past the Mississippi, you know. So it's a tough race on you, too. It's very tough. We're up there in the Northwest. It's kind of like a little island. So you're sitting up here, and a lot of people don't want to come. But it's a beautiful country, and it's just a hard place to get to. And it's like any place, you have a home court advantage.
And that's an interesting balance when you look at who's won this in particular, because I mentioned the California circuit and California horsemen, because when you mix in Mandela, Frankel, Baffert, Hollendorfer, all, you know, all these kinds of Hall of Famers that have Whittingham, both Charlie and Michael, have all come up with milers and won the Long Acres Mile. But then when you think about you and Jim Penny and Doris Harwood and Michael Pewich and so forth, you know, the local horsemen, when you, you know, defend the home turf, that's particularly special.
It is. It's very special. And we've had a lot of good trainers up here and Hall of Famers and jockeys. They all like to come up. They used to love to come to Long Acres and race there. And Emerald Downs has got it's a newer track, but the barn area is outstanding. It's probably the best barn area. I haven't been to too many of them. I try to stay home, but it's one of the better barn areas I've ever been to. So it's really good. People like to come. It's Long Acres was very, you know, it had the greatest infield and everything you ever saw. They always kept it up and stuff. And we're kind of hampered here with the wetlands and stuff, but we're getting there. But it's a great place to win that race.
The pictures, the trees, that line of what are those? Those straight up that. It's a remarkable, the pictures I've seen of Long Acres itself.
Yeah. Yeah, they're planted probably in 1933, and they grew up, and I think they're called maybe Poplars, I don't know. So, but it was so picturesque there. I mean, you come off the freeway and you see it. You land in an airplane, you see it. It looked like a park down there, and people used to come in groves. You know, it's like anywhere. Years ago, pari mutuel betting was the only thing we had. We didn't have lotto, and we didn't have casinos or nothing. So it was great. People come out in groves. Friday night, that was a place to be. You got all the young couples come out and everything at Long Acres. And we're trying to get it back here at Emerald Downs. And we're succeeding a little bit, but it's like any new track. It's hard to get them back. Once you lose your fans, it's hard to get back. So, but we're trying, but that race is so great, and I've run in a lot of times. But it's a race that if you win it or you run it, it's very hard to repeat. It's a tough race. You go on a mile, and you have to run almost full out. And very tough race to win. A lot of horses that run in it win it, and never showed up again. So,
well, and we talked, and I know we talked after Wasserman won, because it was special, because it was your first. But then you came back and remind us the circumstance that you came back with assessment the next year.
Yes, I did. Yeah, it's the day Wasserman won. If you ever watched the rerun, he got in so much trouble, maybe he should have beat Wasserman. But Assessment is a nice horse, but he's just prone to find trouble. So, he always run through it. He ran fourth to Wasserman that year and then come back and won it. Barkley was fourth last year. He had a rough trip, came from last, and wasn't quite right. Even then, I didn't feel, not like this year. This year, he's on top of his game. But last year, he got in trouble and run fourth, and then he come back and won it. So.
And he's a five-year-old. He's by Munnings, and this was a career win number nine. He's won nine of 17. And you know, you give him some time in spots, but it feels like, you know, I have these conversations, Howard, a lot of times with Shug. If a horse is performing like this as a five-year-old, he's really just, you know, reached maturity and is now at his best.
Well, that's right. The people that own these are a local group, and they just like to watch here. I've been very fortunate. I want to send him to a van, but he's the type of horse that doesn't train real hard in the morning. So when you hear his ability can get through it, but if I send him to California or something, he'd have to train harder. I don't think he'd stay sound. There's only four races up in this country for him. Unless you want to travel to Vancouver and run up there, and I don't like the bull ring. So I'm thinking right now he'll probably be put out for the wintertime and come back. And the people are really, really good, and they go along with me on that. So, but he's a fan favorite, and every track needs a fan favorite. They need somebody to come out. The industry needs somebody. So I'm very fortunate I can do that with him.
Going back, in terms of his auction background, I only see that he was ever sold as a yearling at $21,000. Was that the current owner's, or did he change hands later on?
No, that was the current one. Van wow. bought him for him, my son. He was in Kentucky, and we tried to buy at the sale here because we like to buy Washington and support the industry here because that's the track. So he was in, we couldn't buy here. So I told Van, well, if you find something to buy him. So Van made a statement the other day. He says, probably, oh, I've got a record. He said, I want it riding it. And I want it training it, long you smile. And he says, I was a bloodstock agent for the one that won it. So he's got three ways to go. So it's probably rarity.
I'm just looking. He was hip 3,240 in the 2014 yearling sale. So he had to be book five, right?
Yeah, he's way back in there. He's a small horse. Munnings are small anyway when they start out, but he had a lot of color, and the band just said he was clean on the vet report, and it was kind of small, and it was getting late and hard to find him. So somebody was watching on the computer and I was having to talk to him, and he says, "That's a cute little thing." So I talked to him. I called Van, and in fact, he called me. He said, "This is a nice little colt." He says, "He's not big and attractive yet, but he's going to be." So I said, "Well, just go for him." So I always like to go one past 20,000 because everybody wants to drop, you know, they say 10,000 if you have a client. They said, well, buy me one for 10, 20, or 30. It's never 21 or nothing like that. So you can get a lot of horses that way. It's just one more notch. So, because everybody wants to drop on the 20. So, but that's what we did. We got him shipped out here, real small colt, really friendly. And we broke him, and he won his first two starts. And He should have been undefeated. He lost the Derby by a head. Mile eighth, and this guy's a little, you know, he's kind of doesn't look like a route horse. He's a sprinter, but he's just so much ability. So for this area, I don't know how he'd fit anywhere else, but for this area, he's a good horse.
No, and you're all three, your best horses in terms of earnings, all three of your long acre mile winners. And I am going to ask you about a different horse. And you talk about what I'm going to guess is a personal favorite, Red Eye Express.
Yeah, he's special. I was a little younger, and his first good horse I had, he was brought in the year of LASIKs. He was a bad bleeder, and he brought in, nobody knew really how to use it at that time. So he was a good horse. And nowadays, he'd be a very, very good horse because he run through LASIKs. He run through bleeding. He run 8 and change, 7 and change. It didn't matter. And he didn't run a real good mile up here, but you take him to California and he'd run a better mile down there than he would here. So.
John White planted that, by the way.
Yeah, John, he likes the horse. John likes the Northwest very well. He's very good advocator of us up here, and that horse he was a good horse.
I got to ask you because we've talked to Van, whose career has taken off, and we know how he earned his way onto the racetrack, working for you and learning the game and learning the horsemanship, evaluating horse flesh, but. For your part, Howard, how did you end up on the racetrack?
My dad sold cars. They called me Fairly Honest Bob. And so I was 12 years old, and I wanted to get in, and Dad bought a cheap horse from my Herb Taylor. And so I started working for the Taylor brothers. Their Taylor family up here is just like the Belvoir or the Bayes family, so big up here. If you're a Bayes, you're a racetracker. So there's family after family. Taylor's was the same way. And I worked for them from 13 on up to start training when I was 19, so 18, 19. I'd travel with them. And my folks were great parents. When I was 12 or 13, they put me on a truck. I raised in Payette, Idaho, and Portland was running. Portland, Oregon, that's 400 miles away. As a 13 or 12 year old, they put me on a truck. Didn't know the driver or nothing, and I rode up the truck with them, and then I got off and walked down to the racetrack and went to work. At that time we didn't have no cell phones, and learned to appreciate money and appreciate work. Nowadays you can't do that because the government won't let the kids work until they're 16 and so many hours. But I never called home for money. I'd work all summer with the Taylor brothers, and then come home and go to school and turn around and do it the next year. So. Is a great life, but you wouldn't nowadays if somebody said, "Well, I'm putting my kid on this truck and they don't know the driver, nothing," and they would crucify him. So I learned so much from them. I learned the work ethic and how to do that. And I wish just that people could do it because the racetrack is a great place. It's like a little town. Especially up here, and it's changed like everything, but I had a little issue with my heart the other day, and people are so great. They love you and they hate you, but when you have problems, they all love you. So the racetrack up here is great that way. I can't say enough about it. One day we had an issue with Barkley. He's like a pup to train, but he likes to walk on his hind legs when he comes home. He got the Jennifer Whitaker off and coming home, run through the barn there, and everybody's out there trying to save him. So, but he never fell. He's very agile and stuff. But
it's just the type of people we have up here, and I'm sure every racetrack does too. And I think you could talk to Shug or any of them, and they'd say, well, things aren't like they used to be. But it's that way in every business. But we're just trying to hang on to it and make it better.
Well, you certainly, on your own, and more than 2,000 wins, and you know, your career and your record stands for on its own and for itself, speaks for itself. Then there's, you know, the family side too, Howard. You've got to be inordinately proud of what, you know, you've sent out into the industry. Talk a little bit about that end of it.
Well, I've got three boys there. It's like, you know, I've been so lucky and fortunate because they're all good boys and no problems. Van was the first one. He'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning with me, and I'd try to sneak out of the house, and I couldn't. He was right on my hip. I got sales books where he's looking down at the foot and stuff like that. He was always with me. Groomed horses when he's 7 or 8. I'd give him one that I knew he could groom, and he was around the barn. He had no childhood, really. He started riding when he's 14. He wrestled when he's 5 or 6, so he learned how to reduce. He's a big kid. He rode with zero fat. I mean, you talk about Pinkai and them people. I don't know how to say it, but how they ride with what they ate. Like Pinkai have peanut or something like that. You know, if he rode 7 or 8 races, he's got to be weak at the end. So Van was the same way. Rode with a broken leg because he knew that he'd hurt me if he took off horses, because I don't like, I told him, I said, don't leave people hanging. You know, if you got to take off, no jockey wants to pick him up usually. So, and he'd ride through anything. I'm very lucky there. And then my oldest boy, he works for Equibase. He's a chart caller. He's up at Saratoga now.
Yep.
And he got into it and got out. It went through college and everything, but came back and became a racetracker. So he's been an agent. He's been all over, but he's got a basically a good job now. So, and my youngest son works for Boeing. Always said he's probably the smartest one because he got out. But you know, you never get out of this business. Once you get in, it's just like you see circus families, family after, you know, they stay in, and it stays in the deal. And that's the way racetrackers is. If you get out, you're looking the way to get back in. Always say there's always, you see the cows, they're running the fence, leaning off the fence, trying to eat the grass on the other side. So then they get out, and they're running the fence, trying to get back in. So it's never, the grass is never greener on the other side, and racetrackers always seem like they come back. So it's a great industry and sport, or whatever you want to call it. And it's just going down slowly, but we're trying to pump it back up.
Well, your performance and ongoing success, Van with his exploits, you bring up Heath, one of the top chart callers in the game, and works as a clocker as well, and widely respected. And I don't know Clay. But we've had Heath's been on the show, and so has Van, and it's great to get you back, Howard. And best wishes for continued success. Press toward 2,500 wins, the next milestone, and look for another Long Acres Mile, whether it's Barkley or another horse that comes along. I can't thank you enough for the visit.
Steve, I appreciate it very much, and we need more programs like yours. You're a good thing for the business.
Well, it's very kind. Howard Belvoir, everybody. The Belvoirs of
the Pacific Northwest. They've won four between them. Three for Howard, and now Van's got to try to catch up. And they're trying to think the, well, I know Bobby Frankel won three. John White's next. John White will tell us who. I wonder who. I can look that up easily enough. Who's won the most Long Acres miles? And I got to check into my expectation that Longdon might have won it both training and riding. John White will give you more, and he'll. I'm sure he'll dote on Howard Belvoir and how much the Belvoirs mean to racing in the region. And we'll also go over some Del Mar results with John as well. Stay with us. Hour three at the races. Start to look toward this week. The field coming together for the Pacific Classic. If you heard Jerry Hollendorfer, you know that Unique Bell is not. She's not participating. That Jerry was scoffing at that yesterday. I forgot to ask. You know, one thing. I got to send out a link. Jay Privman wrote about Battle of Midway yesterday, and I completely forgot to ask yesterday about Battle of Midway. How close he is, and apparently is going to run before the meet ends at Del Mar. Let's take a top of the hour break. John White joins us next at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, that top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.